This podcast is supported by The Real Real.
You know what I love most about the holidays? Giving gifts. But not just any gifts. Real gifts. Thoughtful gifts. Oh my God, how did you know gifts? That's why I love gift shopping with The Real Real. The Real Real is the most trusted name in authenticated luxury resale. And it's a holiday shopping secret I'm going to let you in on. Whether it's a surprisingly affordable, pristine condition bag for your BFF, a vintage find that's cool enough for the Gen Zer in your life, or even something your impossible to shop for dad will love. Get used to saying, I found it on The Real Real. Seriously, with over 10,000 new arrivals dropping every day from brands like Gucci, Fendi, Prada, Louis Vuitton, Tiffany & Co., and Cartier, there's guaranteed to be something for everyone on your list. Oh, and did I mention everything's up to 90% off retail?
Get $25 off your first purchase at TheRealReal.com. That's TheRealReal.com to get your $25 off. TheRealReal.com.
Lowe's sabe que a todos nos gusta ahorrar, especialmente en esta temporada. Por eso escogimos deals buenísimos para Early Black Friday. Obtén gratis una herramienta selecta de DeWalt, Cobalt o Craftsman al comprar una batería o un kit selecto. También tenemos árboles de Navidad preiluminados selectos desde $59.98, porque nunca es muy pronto para poner el arbolito. Lowe's, nosotros ayudamos, tú ahorras. Hasta agotar existencia, selección varía por lugar.
Hello all and welcome back. Hope you can appreciate this. Monica, who's watching there, has made this place cozy by putting, she's watching me, by putting a pumpkin here and a few other nice touches. So you've got a lot of stuff visually to enjoy. We've got the Lost Biker Stories there. Good, I've done my bit. Right, welcome back everyone. Thanks all as ever for continuing to tune in and watch these weekly episodes. I hugely appreciate it. Hi at tuesdayatdobbs.com if you have a longer story made with some pictures. Otherwise, the comment section is amazing because it generates a good chat. Let's begin. I want to wrap up the chat from last week. Horrific design flaw that BMW put into their ABS servo system from around about 2001, 2002 to 2006. They're the main bikes affected from this ridiculous design fault that they did. So I wanted to clear that up. I also just wanted to go into a little bit more detail for this because this opened up a kind of rabbit hole of stuff. 2002 to 2006, roughly, I've heard many of you with this era of BMW getting quoted around £2,000 from garages to get this issue rectified, get the ABS brake module rectified. The options you can do, of course, from last week, you can bypass the ABS, and this is relevant for actually not just BMWs, but other brands as well. And an independent shop will do that for £300 to £400, or you can do it yourself. Or you can get the unit repaired, but almost everyone here gets the ABS servo unit bypassed. Does this fail an MOT, the annual safety check in the UK? No, it doesn't. I've had so many people get in touch now to say they did this ABS delete, and for years and years they've been getting MOTs, annual checks, no issue at all. But I've got a little more insight here. If you can consider all of that stuff, but there's something else you can do. Prepare yourself for this. This got so many likes, this comment. This is from Paulie. You can just, and this is him speaking here, you can just replace it, the ABS module in the BMWs, with a Ford Focus ABS servo, identical and made in the same factory in Belgium. Cost me £9. Job done. So, an issue that in some situations, and I know this because people have told me, has written off BMW motorbikes where they're sent to the scrapyard and sold for parts. This has happened many, many times. Or a mid-level situation where you've paid £500 for a recommissioned unit. Or what Paulie's done, £9 and job done. I had to look into more detail and I spent a ridiculous amount of time looking into this, almost totally ridiculous, but I thought I have to go into it. So Here is some of my research I've done and a few of your comments, and I could have read out so many here. It turns out this is, well, it's not even a well-kept secret. A huge amount of people know about this as a fix. Replace the ABS servo element in your BMW for a Ford Focus one. Zombie Hunt 808 says this, just carrying on in the string from Paulie. 2012 was my unit. Don't quote me on this, but I think the 2009 to 2015 units from Ford Focuses are compatible, but mine is definitely a 2012 ABS servo unit from a Ford Focus. And it's compatible because mine works as intended. I'll just specify that we do not, this is really important, replace the whole module. They have some differences in a different plug. Only, block capitals only, the black electric motor on the top of the ABS unit. Okay, you may think I'm getting too technical here about one specific model of motorbike, but this is important because this is relevant for so many bikes. You can find workarounds. I've seen this for a load and I'll give some more examples, but take a look at this. We've got here, the cheapest I could find for a used model, BMW 1200RT ABS servo, £525. Take a look at the design of this here. Now take a look at the design of a 2008 to 2011 genuine Ford Focus Mark II ABS pump modulator. Both got that little black plastic thing on the side. Both that bare metal strip and both the black cylinder on top. So from what I've researched here, all you have to do, if you've got one of these BMWs, this is all you have to do. Maybe don't quote me on it, but I'm quite excited about this because this will help so many people. Go online, buy one of these Ford Focus modulators, unscrew this little black cylinder at the top here, unscrew the black cylinder from your BMW and replace it. And it's done. This one's £60. Look, loads of people are saying they can find just that little black cylinder for £9. I'm sure they can, but I did a bit of searching. Easy, £50 or so, or best offer. Something that can write off a BMW, sorted. Mind blown. Okay, let me do a bit more on this because I found it so interesting. The next bit, this isn't just for BMWs here. ABS issues are a huge issue, full stop. The reason being, they do go wrong, and when they do, they can be hideously expensive. I'll give an example here. Triumph Bonneville T120. One of my favourite ever bikes, a modern classic, so in theory, quite a simple motorcycle. But the ABS unit, if you need to buy a brand new one, or you decide to buy a brand new one, it can be ruinously expensive just to buy the brand new ABS unit, not including fitting. It's £1,542. So if your ABS unit fails, you go to a garage, let's say Triumph dealership, for example. The Triumph dealer will always say that you need a brand new ABS unit because the main dealers, they won't repair the unit. It's just how they have to work. They have to replace it for a brand new one to back themselves. So you're looking at, I don't know, £1,750 minimum to get the ABS unit replaced if you've got a T120. Or you could use this great looking European site here. They're very transparent, that's why I like them. €439, and they will repair your unit, and they've got a 99% success rate. Or you could buy a secondhand one for £427, or finally you could buy a secondhand one for £199. And the reason I say that, just look at the fluctuations of everything. You've got everything from a secondhand unit for £200, repair the unit for €440, or a brand new, ruinously expensive one for £1,500. It shows you have to shop around for this stuff for biking. And bikes are relatively easy. Unscrew the tank, take out the bit. It's not rocket science a lot of the time for this stuff. But again, it's not just BMWs, and it's not just British bikes. The Japanese are not immune to this type of stuff either. This shocked me. Get ready for this. This is probably the most shocking of the whole episode, actually. This is from Bob Black Bass. I had exactly the same problem with the ABS on my 2013, you won't believe the model, Suzuki V-Strom Adventure. The go-to workhorse. Someone says, what's the most dependable, reliable bike ever made? 70% of the time, probably, the Suzuki V-Strom is going to pop up. So the fact that this bike is mentioned with a high ABS, a high-cost ABS issue, blew my mind. I continue here from Bob Black, Suzuki V-Strom Adventure. I had the oil changed and the ABS stopped working. The dealer quoted me $3,500 to replace it. I had it bypassed and I sold it. More of these ABS units are getting bypassed than we realize. So I thought, this cannot be true. $3,500 to have this replaced. I decided to do some digging and I went on to the most legit one I could find. If I need to buy an entire ABS hydraulic unit for a Suzuki V-Strom, first of all, I typed in Suzuki V-Strom hydraulic ABS unit. First thing that pops up on Google AI. In essence, this is a very complicated, very expensive unit to replace. So alarm bells are ringing. Then I went to try and find one to buy, and from Fowler's, which is a very highly regarded seller of motorbike parts, I found the piece that I needed. So for the ABS hydraulic unit, from the simple workhorse of a bike, Suzuki V-Strom, the price, £3,986. Nearly £4,000. No words. I move on to far more upbeat stuff. This. Someone sent me this over. Sorry, I didn't save your name. This was about 5 days ago. I wasn't ready for this. I didn't know about this. My God, Honda are working magic. Honda are doing incredible things at the moment. Their range of bikes, from the Transat, the Africa Twin, the Monkey Bike, the Hornet, you know, these great value bikes as well. So many amazing bikes. The Dax, they've got this brilliant mix of good, tough workhorses, really insanely in-depth stuff like the Goldwing, I was going to say the Gold Star, the Goldwing, and also this Honda CB1000F. Look at that. It looks like something from the early 90s or something like that. I'll read the main specs out. £10,600 for this, in my eyes, phenomenal looking bike. 1000cc, four cylinder, 214 kilos, low seat height. And while we're on the seat height, look at the seat. You know what this looks like for me? This looks like, with Honda doing this bike, the rebirth of the big bruisers, the early 1990s muscle bikes. In fashion terms, the 1990s is back now. That period that I can't believe is now 30 years ago. That's bang on back in fashion. And I think it's now coming back for motorbikes, for new models of motorcycles. When I first saw this bike, I thought this is exactly the kind of bike that I lusted after when I passed my test 15 years ago or so. It's got a real nostalgic feel to it. Honda say, inspired by the iconic 1979, interesting, CB750F, now reborn with contemporary muscle and tech. Explore the unparalleled riding feeling and unique sound of the CB1000F. Authentic experience, lightweight heritage. Lightweight's probably pushing it at 214 kilos, but they come in two colors. Silver tank with little blue accents and black with silver and red accents. And I don't know which one I prefer more. I love the fact that it seems to have, from what I can see here, the best of both worlds. It's got a big, strong 1000cc engine, but it's not crazily highly tuned or anything like that. And it's in an incredible looking frame with a great looking silhouette, but it's a bike that you can use every day. It's not so highly strung. It's not so aggressive the way it sits. It's got this incredible 70s, 80s, early 90s kind of simplistic stripped back styling. And the way the seat has those little bits of design, the stitches going lengthways. This is a phenomenal looking machine. I need to contact Honda and ask to test this out. And Honda have really pushed here. The fact that it's a powerful machine, it's a comfortable machine, and you can do big distances on it. They advertise it with a tank bag, with saddle bags, things like that. It's a big brute of an all-rounder. It's old school. Oh, I love this so much. I'm so excited for this. Honda are just pushing on so much. It's amazing. It's hugely, hugely exciting. Well done, Honda. Moving on. And this is going to be kind of my bike for the week. This is from the German gentleman last week who said that he was looking for a really cost-effective mile muncher to go exploring around Europe. He wanted something with fuel injection, but this is really important. He wanted something that won't break the bank, not just in terms of going out to buy a bike, because you can go out and buy a cheap Ducati, a cheap BMW for under 1.5K. That can be done. But something also that won't have hideously high repair bills as well on top of that. So I found a shortlist of 4 to 5, thanks to all of you. I've been very careful here, not just to find good value bikes to buy, but also bikes that don't have any scary repair bills if a certain element goes wrong. So I found 4 to 5 bikes that I think are the sweet spot, thanks to you. And also within those 4 to 5 bikes that I'm showing specific years that should be as stress-free as possible. I'll start off here. Very, very good value, mile munchers. Let's begin. First one from Matt. Freddy, cheap, reliable Tourer, Honda. See, listen to this. It's very much like the bike I've just mentioned. Honda CBF 1000 Mark II. Earlier bikes have stator issues. The Mark II don't. Do you know, I know this. I used to have a Honda CB500 and that had a stator issue. That is really true. So we're looking at Mark II Honda CBF 1000s. Right, what they've got. Detuned Fireblade engine. See, I love this bike because we're looking at reliable, frugal biking here. I mean, frugal maybe is the wrong word, but good value, reliable biking we're looking for. Yet you can also have the excitement as well, a detuned Fireblade engine, 1000cc, 245 kilos. MCN say this, a brilliant jack of all trades and legendary Honda build quality. No reason to question the reliability of the detuned blade engine. And it should last forever. That is Honda at its best. Imagine that, putting one of the most famous super sport engines into a bike, slightly detuning it, sports tourer, and it's still a bike and an engine that should last forever, even though it's based on the ultimate super sports motorbike. It's also got an aluminium frame, so you won't have any rust issues at all. If ever there was genuinely a bike that could last forever, it's this. Auto Trader, 2000, remember I'm going for the newer model here, £2,495. In red, looks very good. In fact, 14 years on, 50,000 miles. Still a lovely looking motorbike with 105 horsepower. That's the first one done. Next up, this is a good one. This, I don't think I've mentioned this for a while. Yamaha TDM. I'm going to start this with Barry. But then I'm going to not exactly pick Barry's bike. Freddie thought I'd send you a picture of my unsung hero. Now, 23 years old, the last of the 850s. I've had her from new, now with 80,000 miles under her belt. I can't see the point in changing bikes every 5 minutes unless you have money to burn. If you maintain your ride, it will last and last. The TDMs were arguably the first adventure bikes, derived from Paris-Dakar racer. I like all early TDMs. It does use a little oil between services, a replacement exhaust due to rust, the same for the rear suspension, and I've upgraded the front brakes to Blue Dot and put braided lines on. That is it. Good examples go for £1,750, that's £1,750. Definitely worth a second look. That's from Barry. Barry, you gave me good inspiration here. Rumian left a comment, and this is where I'm going for the next bike. Rumian says, as for reasonably priced mile munchers, try the Yamaha TDM 900, and that is what I'm going for. TDM 900, the reason being, this younger brother of the TDM 850 has fuel injection, which is one of the things our German friend asked for. So, TDM 900, 2002 to 2011, 74 horsepower, 190 kilos. It's quite a good recipe, 900 cc's. MCN say so easy to ride, you could do it with your eyes closed. And again, these have an excellent reputation for reliability. These are easy to find. 1.5 grand. 60,000 miles on the clock. This one comes with all of the panniers. Previous owner traveled here upon it. I got it for my dad, but he can't reach the floor, unfortunately. Looks like an incredibly straight one, 1.5K. Can you get that for 1350 for 900cc bike with a superb reputation for reliability? Great shout. Next, Freddy, touring bike. That'll be the Honda Varadero XL 1000V, 2007 and onwards for this one. Let's take a look at this. So first Varadero 1000 came out 1999 and they finally discontinued it in 2013. Fuel injection, interestingly, in 2003 arrived, and so did ABS. Then in 2008, more upgrades came to enhance comfort, style, and a few other bits. So, I'm in a predicament. Do I go old and stay away from any of those electronics like fuel injection or ABS? Or, and I'm sorry, I didn't save your name, do I go with the tip, 2007 and onwards, get the upgrades to comfort and style, get the fuel injection, but also get the ABS with a bit of added complexity? Let's stick to the recommendation, 2008 onwards, so I get all of those packages with extra stuff in it. So I'm looking at 1000cc V-twin, 94 horsepower. By this point, 2008 onwards, this bike had been around for 9 years. So any gremlins that there may have been, they will have been ironed out years ago. Excellent, excellent, well-proven reputation. 6-speed gearbox, 241 kilos. Just that package of a 1000cc V-twin with 94 horsepower. That's character there. MCN say a reliable used by for serious miles. Exactly, exactly what we're asking for here. Auto Trader, one of these, they do hold the value quite well. In fact, very well. If you want one of these, you're looking at about £2,700 for a 17-year-old bike. It's a testament to how highly regarded these are that they do hold their values very well, but £2,700 for a bike that's fully kitted out, ready for adventure. And again, they've aged perfectly well as well from a looks point of view. Next up, I had to put this in there. I think I've mentioned this bike recently, but no bike came up more than this. This is from It's All About the Ride. A great bulletproof bike is the first generation. Remember that first generation Suzuki 650 V-Strom, brackets fuel injected, from around 2004 to 2011. Okay, let's take a look at this one. 60 horsepower from this period, Gen 1, 189 kilos, 650cc. This is the very definition of budget motoring. As tough, as well proven, as durable, as versatile as you could ever imagine. It may be the most versatile, well proven package that there has ever been in motorcycling. This is in essence the famous, ludicrously long-lived Suzuki SV650 in an adventure suit. What can I pick one of these up for? Facebook Marketplace. Very, very easy. £1,695. I think this may be the absolute ultimate if you're looking for reliability, budget under 2K. You can't get better than that. And I wrap it up here with the biggest beast of the day. How do you match up rock solid reliability, proven track record, but also You want an adrenaline rush as well. You want a huge engine. You want big horsepower. You want something that can get the pulse racing. But you don't want any nasty surprises from the garage. I give you Yamaha FJR 1300. For a bike that's such a huge beast, to be recommended so many times over the past week from people as one of the ultimate reliable mile munchers. Yet it's got the adrenaline rush to go with it. That is such a rare combination. This comes from Luddite 6239. For a good, solid, reliable tourer, try the Yamaha FJR 1300. Big, torquey, inline four-cylinder, shaft drive with a five-plus gallon fuel tank. God, I Can't figure that out in litres. They've been around in one form or another for over 20 years, so spares are relatively cheap and plentiful. That is an excellent point. If you're looking for a cheap bike, you want a bike that's been around for a long time and was at least decently popular, because that means spares are going to be much, much more readily available. So there we have it, Yamaha FJR 1300, but all is not perfect. Let me just add this bit in from Rob Sig. Freddie, I've got, oh, this is painful. I've got a Yamaha FJR 1300 with, I cannot believe this, this is just popping up all over the place. I've got an FJR 1300 with the dreaded ABS light issue. ABS, at least when it first came out, I don't know if it's still as apparent now. I've never had a motorbike with ABS, so honestly, I don't know. But ABS issues are commonplace and so, so expensive to fix. So I've got an FJR 1300, dreaded ABS light issue, replaced both ABS sensors, no good. I've been told it's the module and could cost thousands, exclamation. I'll keep on riding her until I can't anymore. Right, okay, what we're going to look for here then, I cannot put the FJR 1300 in there as a frugal workhorse, a big mile muncher, with that ABS issue, because I want to find bikes without any unexpectedly high repair bills. So ABS came out for the FJR 1300 in 2006. So I'm going to be looking, yes, a Gen 1 model, which was 2001 to 2012. But within that, I am only looking at 2001 to 2005, because I don't want any big ABS bills here. 1300cc, 264 kilos, 144 horsepower. This is just, everything about this is massive. MCN say, smooth running and generally very reliable. FJR 1300s age well and are bulletproof. I should add here, the FJR 1300 has been around for so long in one form or another that more and more electronics were added to the later models, and it did very slightly take away from the reliability reputation. But if you get one of the original ones with the least possible electronics, they are very widely regarded as bulletproof, as MCN say. So I found one here. Bike of the week. 2003 model FJR 1300 in silver. Panniers left and right. Rear rack in silver. Fully fared. 15,000 miles on the clock. Full service history. They hold the value quite well, these. For a 22-year-old bike, £3,500. But it looks like it could be on a showroom right now. Proper lockable panniers for such a bike, and it's even got a rear box for such a bike like that. Is it a bargain? No. But is it a very good bike? Yes, by all accounts. So I'll wrap it up there. Thank you so much, everyone, for watching. Really hope you enjoyed this week's episode. Have a fantastic week all, and I'll see you all in the next one.